Thank you, Emil. We're coming into chapter 6, and we're ready now, having been forgiven, having been justified, and having been reconciled, we're ready to go out into this world. Now, what are we going to do? And I believe we can understand the question that is asked here. By the way, how many verses are in the chapter?
23.
It's 10 o'clock. We're going to go till 11:30. So we need, brothers, to pace ourselves. We need to think about how many verses we'd like, with the Lord's help, to be able to cover so we can get to the end of this. We won't spend all the time that you might want to spend on some of the earlier verses, because we want you to spend that on those verses when you go home, okay? Now, the apostle says, what shall we say then? Are we going to continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answers it. He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Years ago, or a couple years ago, Emil talked to us, those of us that were at Spruce Lake or at Sandy Cove, about the captain of the ship. He had owned that ship. He had been in charge of that ship. That ship was his the whole time that he was there. But there came the time when the captain got locked up in the quarters. He no longer had rights. Now, this is what we're going to deal with in your life and mine as we come into this chapter. A change of masters. I've titled it there. I'll just go on into verse 3 and then we'll comment on these. Know ye not. Now, I don't think he's asking you, Luke, do you know? I don't think he's saying that for a minute. Do you know? But I believe he is building on truth that they did know. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death. If you go out into the world today and you ask a lot of people about baptism, it's a rather insignificant thing in their life. They would point you back to a time, maybe they would even give you a date, and they would say, you know, this is the time that I was baptized and I was such and such an age, and it's kind of forgotten. That's not what baptism is here. Somebody will come along and say, well, you know, baptism is an outward sign of the inward change that was made in me. Not so. Baptism is a burial in figure. And we're going to see that. We're going to say, here's this man. What are we going to do with this man? He wants to rule. He doesn't want to give up his authority. He doesn't want to give up his power over my life. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ, we were baptized unto his death. Therefore, we will be, we are, we have been, no, we are buried. Who are we buried with? With who? We're buried with him. It says it there, doesn't it? How were we buried? Read the verse 4. We are buried with him. How? By baptism. Into what? Unto death. And then we see this change, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, and I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, even so we will walk in newness of life. Doesn't say that. But you know, this is what the Lord is after for you and I, that we would walk in newness of life because of the burial of that man. Others can give us some help here.
Verse number 3 shows a positional aspect of what has happened. That as many have been baptized unto Jesus Christ, have been baptized unto his death. And then we have the practical side of it in verse 4. We have been buried therefore with him by baptism unto death, in order that even as Christ has been raised from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. So therefore, in the likeness of his resurrection, we walk in something new now, and that is the Christian life that we have.
I wrote in my Bible, Act. A-C-T, I mean fact, in beside verse 3. A-C-T, act, in verse 4. Years ago, there was a brother from Scotland that came to these conferences by the name of King Thompson. Anybody that knew him, he was a lovely brother. He was a fisherman earlier in his life, and then he went into the Lord's work. And you know, I remember him saying, Emil may remember it, what is the most important thing for a young Christian to do in his or her life? And he said, it is to be true to our baptism, to realize what has happened to that man, that he has gone into death and that I must keep him there. And I think it's important that, again, that Paul builds upon what we know. You can't build on something you don't know. But he doesn't assume they don't know this. He says, know ye not. And then he gives this fact. But I think our brother over here, Paul, were you going to help us? Were you
looking? Yeah. I was going to say that when someone is dead, what do you do with that person? You bury the body. That's all you can do with the body. You bury it. A buried man is done with the life in this world. And he disappears completely. He disappears completely from the sphere he once moved. Beloved, we have been brought into a new sphere altogether. This is something new. This is not something that Jeremiah and the prophets could enjoy. God has done a work which is new altogether, absolutely new. We have seen in the previous chapter that we have life. It's a fact that we have life. And now he wants to tell us in chapter 6 how to move, how to live, how to walk, how to enjoy this wonderful life he has given us in Christ.
I'd like to just make an observation that I've noted, and we haven't made a comment on it before, but the beginning of this chapter starts with a question. And would you notice if you go back and think back in chapter 3, verse 1, and in chapter 3, verse 9, and I think chapter 3, verse 27, and chapter 4, verse 1, each of those segments starts with a question. And then the apostle goes on with the help of the Spirit to explain the answer to that question. And I thought that's an important thing for us to see. And we actually have it in this chapter, chapter 6, verse 15. Another section where he starts with a question and he goes on to logically explain the answer to that question. I just thought it would be something for us to observe.
And in that observation, I just find it interesting that in reading chapter 6, as he starts with that question, which connects with the end of chapter 5, but when he comes to verse 3 and he says, know ye not, he's almost, he's always answered his questions with consider this, this is what the opposer might say, but this is the answer. Here he comes in a little bit stronger, I feel, in his answer. No, and I think we're going to come back to that word no as this chapter progresses, okay? But it's the knowledge of this truth that he's giving, that you have to have it and imbibe it in you and understand every ounce of it. It's sort of the strength that he's forcing or putting this through to us in.